Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A home team.
And here we go.
And the home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris and Jeff till 7 tonight. We'll have the AL wild card game tonight. That'll get started at 8:05.
So, but can I just say this about that?
Yes.
There was one of those.
I'll let you talk, even though you're rooting for the Yankees.
It was the Chip Carey game back in a
line drive, base hit, caught out there. Or
who was
no.
It, the Twins and the Tigers?
Yeah.
That was a great game. It went like 13 innings, one of the best I've seen. That game started between 5 and 5:30. Remember, me and my buddy Vance were watching it, and it was great because it was actually ending in prime time. I understand TV scheduling. Trust me, I understand it. Trust me, I understand that. But just from the sports watching angle, like last night's game, I wish they'd have started the thing at 6. So then it went extras. It would have been ending like between 9 and 10. That would have been perfect.
Yeah,
so
I couldn't
the
8:05
tonight, that game's going to be over at midnight.
Well, and I'm assuming that the A's plan is that Bob Melvin is going to make the pitching changes in between innings. But they are going to be making a lot of pitching changes, which could lengthen the game if they're happening during the innings, but I'm sure the A's do have a plan, and I mean, it's going to be to there'll be a new guy out there almost every inning tonight, as they've got they call him now an opener, not a closer, but
an opener.
This guy Liam Hendricks, he was designated for assignment in June, was a minor leaguer in July and August, and now he is starting the wild card game
against the Bronx Bombers
in the Bronx, too, of all places.
The New York, yeah. I mean, that's a great story, though. If they win, if that guy wins, it's, you know, I think that's the type of thing for every baseball player out there that
he won't qualify for the win, though. He's only pitching an inning.
But if he gets the start,
yeah, I know.
It's
I know.
Hey, I started that game. Just to quote the late, great Jim Valvano, don't give up. Don't ever give up. You never know what can happen.
Well, see, I mean, so who's he got? He's got to face Gardner, Judge, and then who? Who's the second hitter?
Well, I guess, will Stanton hit third?
Is Stanton hit cleanup, or does he hit third?
Could be Hicks. What about DD? I'm trying to think if DD's healthy right now.
Hey, I don't know. Let me look at the
T.D. Gregorius
of a recent Yankees lineup.
Euphorious.
Might be D.D. if he's up there.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. He's going to have
Gardner, Judge, D.D., then probably Stanton. I like Hicks, too. Who's the young guy? Is it Andujar, the rookie who had all the home runs,
yeah,
too?
Who became like the greater than Jeter just in 1 year?
Yeah, he did.
As a rookie.
He broke his doubles record, right? Rookie doubles record?
I believe so. Let's go back to let's go back to when the Yankees lost 8-2 in Oakland on September 5th with Severino, the losing pitcher.
Ooh.
And see what their lineup was that day. It was Gardner, Stanton was hitting second, and McCutchen hit third.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Andrew McCutchen. That's a good lineup.
Oh, well, you know, so Judge was still hurt then. So Judge wasn't even in there. So I guess we'll fast forward to when he came back and see where he was hitting.
Just look at Friday night when they
– yeah, I guess they still
– beat the Red Sox, I mean.
Yeah, because they were still playing. When did they clinch the
– I think Friday night clinched it.
Yeah, they went McCutchen, Judge, Hicks. Stanton was hitting cleanup.
Yeah, that's a good lineup. Oakland's got a great lineup, too.
Oh, they mash. Severino hadn't had a good second half either. Aaron Boone better have that. He better have the bullpen on quick dial. All right, 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems, more than a system, a solution. Jeff, let's start with really the big distressing news of the day, which was the decommitment of Jaden Hazelwood. Jeff, what are your insiders telling you about this? Are we changing our scheme and he no longer fits it? Do we just – well, we don't really want him anyway.
No.
Why is he decommitted?
I don't know. Trying to get inside the mind of an 18-year-old can be tough. The big question I have, and I get it, he didn't say one way or the other, and he said no interviews, which is fine. Like, is Georgia still in the game for him? You know, is Georgia still one of the schools he's considering? Or is it like, no, not going to Georgia anymore? But you know, this was a huge target for Georgia. He's a big-time prospect. He's a tremendous talent. They've been on TV a couple of times this year, and I hope he does wind up at Georgia. You know, I guess the good news is in this class we do have – Dominic Blaylock and Reggie Tung's son. Is his name Micaiah? Is that right?
Yeah, from
down in Louisiana.
Basically from LSU. He's the one that goes to that school
lab
on their campus. Yeah.
So, man, I think it's still a good recruiting class there. But this guy is a big-time prospect. Sounds like Coach Richt in Miami are kind of trying to worm their way in there.
That's like the big picture, like what it represents is like we've been getting everyone we want. And now you don't want this one little moment where it's like all of a sudden we don't want to start like not getting guys that we really want.
I agree.
So you know, that's where it's kind of a bummer.
And the other thing, too, when it comes to recruiting, there's just who knows what lies beneath. I mean, I'm telling you right now, and I'm not at all insinuating anything here with him. We got a great defensive lineman back in the 1990s because he flat out fell in love with a girl on our gymnastics team.
Right.
I mean, just
– okay.
He would come up here on his visits, and they went out, and, I mean, he flat out fell in love with her, and then that fizzled, and he wound up going somewhere else. I mean – there's so much stuff that can happen.
That dude that went to Florida State?
Corey Simon.
Yeah, he was a good player. Played for the Eagles.
Great player.
Yeah.
I mean, he was coming to Georgia. And he was just smitten with this girl on the gymnastics team. And then it turned out that, you know, she might not have fully reciprocated. And, you know, so in the end, she was the when it came down to it, Georgia and Florida State, both great schools. And you know, in the end, she was the difference. But then when that didn't work out, he decided to go somewhere else.
Well, I mean, Florida State might have come with some cash,
probably
too, or
so,
something.
Probably so. But, you know, you just don't
know
in this
stuff. Those guys are dirty.
But I don't think George is dead with him by any stretch, you know, unless –
but like you said, he's not like he really said much. He didn't give you a lot of insight, and he's not accepting interview requests right now.
I will say this, and God knows I'm not trying to diminish a position. I love Lindsey Scott and A.J. Green and Hines Ward. At least it's not a defensive tackle.
True. I mean, we could still have Demetrius Robertson next year.
Yeah. You're going to have Holloman.
Holloman.
You know? I mean, I'm assuming Ridley will be back.
Yeah.
We'll see with Mecole.
Plus, I mean, we've got two other quality receivers
coming
that are
in.
Committed in the class. Yeah. I mean, ultimately for me, it's this first moment now where there's like this – kind of some attrition on the recruiting trail that we have not experienced.
Right, right.
And, you know, you don't want that to work where that suddenly starts to become a trend. I mean, Georgia's just been running so hot in recruiting that this is that moment, like the two of us that year we were at Cherokee, we were running hot at the blackjack table, then this dude in a Tech sweatshirt comes and sits by us.
The cooler.
And we lose like 20 straight hands. Like, I don't want Hazelwood to be the cooler. Hopefully he'll end up coming here, but –
well, I can tell you this. It's still, even if he winds up not coming, it's an outstanding class.
It is.
I get it. He was one of the big gems in it.
As for now, though, okay, he doesn't fit our scheme.
Yeah, right. We didn't want him. He is really, really good. And then I'll tell you this. For the class of 2020, I think is the one when you're talking about just the in-state kids, the class of 2020 is really loaded. And you got guys like Eric Gilbert. Georgia's already got the three commits from Broderick Jones, who's an offensive tackle, Nazir Stackhouse and Jamil Burrows, who are defensive tackles. And Georgia is heavily leading on Eric Gilbert. That's a kid who started at split end and defensive tackle as a sophomore.
is a defensive end named Miles Murphy. Aziz Ojulari's little brother's a top 10 player. And my man, Cartavius Tank Bigsby, who had 19 carries for 330 yards on Friday night and had TD runs of 80, 80, and 65. Thank you to my man, Andrew Caraway.
He's only a junior, though, right?
So, yeah. So, basically, I think the plan would be, like, we'll get Emory this year and then Bigsby the next year.
Okay. That's like a Nick Chubb game, except he got more than three carries.
That's right. That's right.
So maybe the Browns should hire his high school coach
just
then.
Just keep giving it to him. Yeah. I mean, it's – so, again, it would be – I would like to hear what he had to say. And I'm sure right now he's just getting, you know, inundated with everything. But, you know, I don't think George is dead. But, yeah, you're right. I didn't think about it like that. I mean, it's – you know, I know there were a couple of guys Kirby's first year, like with Derrick Brown, we wound up not getting, but he hadn't been committed here. So this is the first, like, really elite commitment.
Because he committed a year ago, March of 2017.
Yeah, so he was technically, you know, still in his sophomore year. That was before his junior season.
Yeah, I mean, he was committed through all of last season.
Yeah.
And now through – you know, five games of this year, and just out of nowhere, he's backing off of it. Maybe, I don't know. Like Renee Zellweger kind of does something funny, so I back away. But yeah, hey, that's the thing. That's the big deal to me with Hazelwood. Is this like the first, you know, sort of like, you know, the moment in recruiting the last couple of years where, like, wait a second, I thought we got everyone we really want. I mean, that's basically what we've been doing the last 2 years, cleaning up.
It's been unbelievable what's been happening.
All right, moving on today in the 5 at 5, Jeff. I feel like Saturday, Dogs and Vandy, this is nothing more than another acceptable score game for Georgia.
Wow.
So, you know, what are we looking at Saturday? What will we tolerate as an outcome for the Dogs and Commies to you know, have us filled with much confidence going to Baton Rouge next week?
I'm going to tell you right now, I'd take a 1-point win right now. I think Vandy's dangerous, but I think to me, like the quote unquote, like who cares what I find acceptable, right? Nobody cares. What does it matter? But I'd feel all right, say 34-17 or better, either way. So okay. 34 for us is a low, 17 for them is a high.
Well, Vandy can throw it around.
They can.
With Shermer. And they have, I mean, they protect him too. He's hard to get to.
It's going to be similar to Missouri. They've got a very good, experienced offensive line. I believe Vandy has 4 starters back, and Shermer's really good. Again, keep in mind, this guy's got football in his blood. I mean, his great uncle was an iconic defensive coordinator. His dad's a head coach of the Giants, so it flows through him. He's a very smart player. So you got a veteran like that who's got a quick release, just like with Locke. You got a good offensive line. You know, Vanderbilt, they're going to be a heady football team. You know, Derek Mason's always going to be good on defense. And I would imagine, Chris, that you'll probably see Vanderbilt maybe incorporate some of what Tennessee did last week and take away the big play and make Georgia drive it on them.
Yeah, it's just that they really come in here. It's a weird turn their season has taken after 2 impressive wins, albeit against Middle Tennessee State and Nevada. You know, they go in there, I mean, they darn near pull an upset at Notre Dame, and then they get blown out at home by South Carolina and then beat Tennessee State 31-27. So it's, you know, after almost pulling that upset in South Bend, it's weird how the direction their season has gone in now the last 2 Saturdays.
I do want to throw something out there. What you just said, Chris, the young man from Tennessee State who was seriously injured, his mother sent out a tweet today, you know, thanking everybody for the prayers and support that he had made a lot of improvements within the last 24 hours.
That's good, because that was scary. I mean, he had to have emergency brain surgery. He just collapsed on their sideline.
And, you know, it's as awful as it was that – I mean, literally, that Vandy Teaching Hospital is a half mile away from the stadium. That's a great hospital.
Yeah.
So it's that was scary, though.
While we're on the subject of acceptable score games, let's pretend we're in Tuscaloosa and Alabama's favored by 35 to beat. You got to cover. You got to cover the
30. Saban's fired.
I mean, they're not just they're favored by 35. That's not at home. They are on the road.
I wonder if that's a first.
Does that say more about Bama or more about Arkansas?
Both.
Wait, Okay.
Does it I mean, that might be a first to have a road team in an intra-conference game favored by 30.
It has to be. Yeah. I mean, the only other – maybe that's happened at Vandy once with someone.
God,
Well, let's see. Bama went there last year.
No, that number wasn't that
it
big.
It wasn't that high?
When they beat them 59-0.
Well, they would have covered. If they had been favored
they
by
would have covered.
58, they would have covered.
Maybe one of Spurrier's teams.
Oh, yeah, Bama was only an 18-point favorite there last year.
Easy money. Maybe one of Spurrier's teams in the 90s.
In fact, that is that's true. I did see that now that you mentioned that earlier in the week. Spurrier took Florida there sometime in the 90s and was laying 32 with Warfel.
Okay.
Yeah. So for Arkansas, it's not even a first. That would have been, I guess, probably 95 or 96.
One of those years, Florida went up there as a heavy favorite. One of their great teams, I think they only beat them like 28-21. It was a little cool up at the Music City. Didn't suit the Gators quite well.
Oh, in Nashville?
Yeah.
See if I could find – I saw that. I read that earlier in the week. But, yeah, the Gators went to – oh, there it is. 1996, Arkansas was catching 32 at home against the Gators.
Whew.
Yeah.
Oof.
Maybe Arkansas to be kicked out of the league if, like, on more than one occasion they've been a
– they'll get relegated and what Southern Miss played Auburn close.
Well, yeah, it's like
–
it's a joke.
Now they're horrible.
I mean, it's already like – we've already – there are already too many teams when you're like – you're looking at – I think I read between now and 2030, like, Auburn's is going to play Florida once or in Gainesville once, and it's just – like, that's not a conference.
No.
Auburn and Florida were.
Oh, they used to play the week before Georgia-Florida. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and Auburn had some success against them.
Yeah, they did.
Speaking of the Gators, they play LSU this weekend, and Spurrier and Miles have been going back and forth a little bit. Miles has thrown out there that if LSU wins, Spurrier is going to eat some grass. And Spurrier said, well, if the Gators win, you got to wear one of my visors. Which would we rather see, Jeff? Spurrier eating grass or Les Miles in a visor?
I think I'd rather see Spurrier eat grass. And, by the way, how about him in those Dos Equis commercials?
Yeah.
let's go to the beer stand. It's fantastic.
Well, that's funny because he's that one time when he was caught at Daytona, didn't he have like a Coors in his hand?
Yeah, he had no shirt. And he was coaching South Carolina. He had that belt.
Still
with
had
the
a Gator belt
logo
on, though. Yeah,
on absolutely.
So you want to see Spurrier eat grass? What do you think we're going to see, though? I think we're going to see Miles in a visor.
I think Florida's going to win.
All right, moving on to the 5-5 A's Yankees tonight. Who do we have?
Going to be a great game. Yankees 8-6.
Wow. So take a lot of runs, more than last night when they scored 3 runs combined in 13 innings.
I think Oakland's going to get off to a good start. The Yanks might be able to get a big inning, and that could come back to what we had talked about earlier. Has Oakland already burned a guy that could help them in a certain situation?
Oakland's only got – they've got one starting pitcher on tonight's roster.
God, that's crazy. And who'd you say it was? Edwin Jackson?
It's Edwin Jackson.
Yeah.
And I would guess he's only on there for the – in case it goes to extras, and then, all right, you're going to pitch from now until the game ends.
You know, and I always kind of like the A's, too, because of the uniforms. You know, another really good pitcher they had back in the 80s, got a Mike Norris, really good right-hander.
Yeah.
But I love Dave Stewart.
I liked Carney Lansford.
Lansford was a terrific hitter. I mean, because that, I guess was it 89 or 90 when they brought in Willie McGee, too. They got him over in a deal. So they had Canseco, McGuire, Lansford, and McGee, and Dave Henderson. I mean, that lineup was incredible with Stewart and Welch and the Eck on the back end.
Yeah.
Good gracious.
They only won that one World Series, though.
They did. They went to 3 in a row.
They got swept by the Reds in that one.
That was the shocker.
Well, I mean, I guess it made sense when you look back on it, as the Reds' previous manager had been gambling on their games.
And they finished second. Was it 5 years in a row?
Yes.
With Rose?
And then all of a sudden he leaves and they win the World Series.
And then, you know, it's one of those things, too, you look back. That Reds bullpen was incredible because they had Dibble. Norm Charlton.
Yeah.
Was it Randy Myers? Is that right? Was that the Nasty Boys? And they had Larkin and Sabo on the left side. Larkin's an all-time great.
Right. But it came down to – and it wasn't that he wasn't – he was betting against the Reds, but it was just, what about the nights he wasn't betting on the Reds?
And maybe that bullpen got a little overtaxed on nights he did bet for the Reds.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to leave Charlton in for an extra inning.
Or then a night that he wasn't on him, and maybe, you know what, maybe I'm not going to use my closer here in this situation,
no question.
Rob Dibble. So, yeah, well, I mean, second, and then, sweep the World Series once he's gone.
And they beat the Pirates in the LCS. Because the Pirates lost to Cincinnati, Atlanta, 90, 91, 92, three straight.
Right. And
that's
then Bonds
rough.
Left, and they were bad for a long time.
You know, from 76 to 78, the Royals lost three straight to the Yankees, and the Phillies lost three straight NLCS to Reds, Dodgers. So you had a three-year run there. You had two teams lose three straight LCSs.
The Pirates never got to the series. The Royals eventually did,
right? The Royals got there in 80 and lost to the Phillies.
Yeah, but the Pirates never made it.
No. They might have sold their souls for Mazeroski.
Yeah.
Although they won a couple after that. They won it in 71.
Yeah, we are family with Pops.
79. Speaking of great uniforms, I mean, come on. What could top
the uniform? The caps are the best.
Fabulous.
Finally, Jeff, October the 3rd, 1995. Today is the anniversary of do you know what?
Hang on a second. 1995.
October 3rd, 1995.
Is that the night? Did we go over and beat Clemson that night? Or is that the...
I don't think so.
Okay. October the 3rd, 1995.
This doesn't have anything to do with Georgia.
Oh, okay. Now the Braves wouldn't have won the World Series yet. Now, I don't know what happened.
Today's the anniversary of the verdict of O.J. Simpson.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah. Do you remember what you were doing when it happened?
Absolutely.
All right.
I was at Old McWhorter Hall because it was a Tuesday football press conference, and they announced the verdict on TV, and the dorm absolutely erupted.
Erupted with cheers or like, oh, my God.
A lot of cheers.
There were cheers, yeah. Okay.
A lot of cheers.
I was not born yet in October 3rd.
You're a young buck.
Yeah.
But
I was at the Tate Center, and I just hopped on a campus bus. I was going to my, you know, being driven to where I had parked. And so I heard it on the campus bus.
Wow.
Because it was on the radio in there.
So that was Lance Ito. I'm trying to think who the judge was in the Pete Rose case. He was kind of famous, too. He had a beard.
Oh, really?
And I believe he was Asian as well.
Oh. I just know that we've already – the Falcons now have a running back
Ito
who is
Smith.
Named after Judge Lance Ito because his parents felt like he looked like him when he was a baby.
Okay. So did he have a beard?
Maybe, yeah. Did he come out just like, you know, full facial hair? But, yeah, so he was – Ito Smith was named after Judge Lance Ito on October 3rd, 1995. Today is the anniversary of the O.J. verdict.
And
by the way, he was found not guilty.
So her blood got in his hotel room in Chicago. Oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
That led to a civil trial.
Yeah, where he was found responsible. And then he ended up going to jail anyway for a while, but he's out now.
Yeah, he is.
I don't
know
where he is. He's just laying low, which is probably a good idea.
Like when he showed up.
He's hiding from the Goldmans, who I guess he still like owes them money and stuff.
Well, when he showed up at a USC's Orange Bowl practice that year.
Oh, but Reggie Bush isn't allowed.
Right, yeah. Right. So I remember he went up to like shake Carson Palmer's hand. It's like, oh, yeah, hey.
Yeah. Like, okay. Pete Carroll just welcomed him back, though, as if, like, nothing had happened. Like, you realize he did commit
two murders.
I don't care what the outcome
murdered,
of that trial was.
Yeah, he murdered two people, yes.
Then years later, though, Reggie Bush, though, if he wanted to go back to USC's practice, he wouldn't be allowed.
Because your parents bought a house.
All right, there's today's 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems, More Than a System, a Solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.